Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
Welcome, welcome. Greetings. This is the Who Got Next podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I have a special guest up here with me. Just kind of talking to her offline. This is my first time truly meeting her, but I told her that I have been following what she has been doing. I think she's doing some wonderful things here in the city, and we are speaking to Miss Shamel.
Yeah, Shamel.
AKA Melly.
Meek Melly.
Meek Melly. How you doing, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So thanks for sitting down with me. I like what you're doing with the
Village Pop-Up Shop.
The Village Pop-Up Shop. I was about to say the, but that's not how it's spelled. You got the D-A, Ebonics.
Right, exactly.
I like what you're doing with that. And I think also with you being that, I do follow you on social media. Mm-hmm. I love to hear about people's experiences that they're willing to share. And I think that you are very open.
Yeah.
Very open with your experiences and how you arrived to this point. So kind of talk about what the Village Pop-Up Shop is.
The Village Pop-Up Shop is an organization. It was set up by myself, friends, family, coworkers. And we just not only do things here in Charlotte, but we travel to different states. 2020, I want to go to different countries. In January, I plan on going to Liberia. So, and then maybe a few other places. I went to visit Japan last year, and I was like, this is another location that we can come and do the pop-up shop.
Mm-hmm.
But we set up with, like, food, music, toiletry items. We have mannequins, clothing racks, like a real store.
Right.
Like an actual store. And all of our items, it's not like, everything is gently used or new, but it's nice stuff, hot stuff. Like, mm-hmm. everything is up to date that we would wear, because that's how pop-up shops are. Pop-up shops are current things that people want to see and purchase. So all of the items that we give the homeless are new things, gently used. We got even underwear, socks, mm-hmm. bras, sneakers, jackets, tents, sleeping bags. Like, we have everything for the pop-up shops.
Before you started the pop-up shop, what did you do? Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you was collecting blankets.
Well,
or scarves.
I was doing purses.
Okay.
Yeah, I was doing purses for a purpose, which I still do, because I'm a domestic violence survivor. So we do those mm-hmm. every October, where we collect gently used or new purses and stuff them with hygiene items mm-hmm. for women.
What made you decide to say purses is the way I wanted to go versus somebody just, you know, coming up with a bag and things like that? What was the idea behind purses?
Sometimes as women, we just don't have purses. Or we do, we just don't kind of switch them out.
Mm-hmm.
Or we lose them or give them away or have stuff tucked in storage. I know for me, when I was not homeless but transitioning and living in a shelter,
mm-hmm.
I was one of those women who had a lot of things, a lot of material things. But for some reason, I only had one purse during my struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like this is something that we can give them going forward to kind of switch it up from what they already are wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also inside the bags, it'll have things that they'll need for everyday survival.
Okay. I think that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about when did a light bulb go off for you to say mm-hmm. to yourself that you wanted to do this? When was that moment?
Because there was so many people that would say it takes a village to raise a kid. And then one day I was like, I'm still trying to raise myself. It takes mm-hmm. a village to raise me too, you know, because if it wasn't for my friends, not necessarily family, because we can love our family and go to family reunions and everything, but sometimes our family members aren't our closest people that we tell everything to.
Right.
So I felt like more so my friends or strangers were my village.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like it's just something that I could do for free. You know, I could wake up every day and set up a pop-up shop and not get a paycheck for it, knowing that I'm helping someone who's in a tough situation.
And how important is it to you to be transparent in the fact that you are a a survivor of domestic violence?
Oh my God, it's so transparent, because before I never used to talk about my story. I would just keep it in and deal with it, wouldn't tell anybody. I wouldn't even tell my family that I was in an abusive relationship or that I was living in a shelter or just went without. But when I started to see other people talk about it, it mm-hmm. made me feel like maybe I should open up more. And then the more I opened, the more I just started to see that people were coming to me, even guys,
mm-hmm.
about their mom being abused or them being abused. Because a lot of men, You know, it's unfortunate, but a lot of times we overlook that the men sometimes, not all the time, but a lot of times.
Most of the time.
Most time the men sometimes become the abuser because they're being abused. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can hit them and hit them and hit them Monday through Friday and they never strike back. And then finally they do, and then they're the perpetrator. But really, they've been abused this whole time. We just overlook it because they're a male. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, domestic violence is something that's really important to me.
I understand that. I understand. So with the pop-up shop, you do treat it as a store.
My background is like high-end retail, so I try to really make it look like a retail store.
And how important do you think it is for the ones who are purchasing the item to feel as if they are walking into a mall or a street store?
They really look at the hangers. Sometimes I just sit back and look at them. They really act like they're in a store.
They get particular at times.
They really, I'm like, y'all are not spending no money. But then I it's not my business to say anything because they may not have spent money on clothes for a while. So I just sit back and I enjoy it because they really look at sizes. They really try things on. They really try to look and see how it looks, you know. So it's important to me because it makes them feel like they're getting an experience that otherwise they may not get. Because we can pull up all day long with items and pull them out of our trunk. Mm-hmm. But when you actually get to take it off the hanger and put it in a shopping bag, because we always provide shopping bags, it really makes them feel like they're shopping.
And you've been doing this for how long now?
I've been doing the pop-up shop since November of last year, but I've already done almost 40 of them. Because we've been to Baltimore, Atlanta, D.C., Maryland, Minnesota, and we plan to go to California and New Orleans before the year's over.
So you was able to build connections with, when you decided to say, okay, I would like to take it to another city, do you just pop up?
Well, I started with I'm from D.C., but I lived in Maryland. Okay. My mom's from Baltimore. I have friends in Atlanta. I used to live in Minnesota. So I wanted to start with places where I'm familiar with, where I have friends at first.
How you get to Minnesota?
My mother, I don't know, she was just doing her thing back in the day.
It's real cold up there too, isn't it?
It's cold, but it's beautiful, and it's hot in the winter. It was hot in the summer, but cold as hell in the winter.
Oh, okay. So you go from all of these, so you did 40 now.
About 40, yes.
Do you have a specific goal of how many you want to hit in a year?
Well, no, my goal is to just reach the places where I want them to eventually be like a store. I want the Village pop-up shop to be like a Goodwill or the Village or Value Village thrift store. Mm-hmm. I wanted to actually become a store. So I want to just leave trademarks to the places where I want stores to actually be at.
And after, after you do these pop-up stores, and I think sometimes when I'm looking at just me when I'm like selling a t-shirt or something like that, it's always good to see somebody wear your product, even though it's not your product, but it's an extension of the product that you created. So do these individuals, do they find you later and say, you know, how do they feel about it if they do come to you later on?
Well, I could say the ones in Charlotte, sometimes we can go back and we'll see them with our things on. But a lot of times they know that I'm the only one really here that does the mannequins and the food and the music. Exactly. So they know me when I come. But out of town, I've noticed that it's people who walk around a corner and they'll come back. And I'm like, dang, you got dressed quick.
Right.
Like, they put it on immediately.
Right.
You know? Okay. Yeah, they put it on immediately.
And the reason why I ask that question is because I think is unique. I haven't seen nobody else. That's why I want to talk to you. I haven't seen nobody put it in a way that you did it. You know, you see ones, okay, I've even done it with shoe drives and things like that. So people will bring their stuff and then after I get it, I'm taking it straight to whoever, you know, the crisis ministry or the men's shelter. So once I drop it off,
you don't know where it's at.
I don't know where it's at, anything like that. But I think with you make it so personable and everybody else comes along. I just always wanted to understand, you know, how do they feel about that experience?
Oh, yeah, and then they wait for us to come. Even with our food, like we've had Cousin Cuisines cater food. We've had this guy, Kevin, you know, he's over off Woodlawn with a restaurant. He's donated food. We've had Coca-Cola. We've had people give food for us from White Castle, Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, all of our food is, like, really catered.
Right.
Now, I may have an auntie or a friend who can cook up some double eggs or something.
But you actually got some corporations that's coming in trying to help.
Backing us up.
That's what's up, man.
I mean, one time I was like, next week I'm coming with shrimp and grits and chicken and waffles. So when I came, I only had the chicken and waffles. And it was like, what is shrimp and grits? You know, so they know and they remember and they wait for it.
Do you put out a flyer or is it just like, well, I know you probably put out a flyer on social media to ones.
Yeah, social media for volunteers and sponsors. No, I don't. Because they know that most likely it's every third Wednesday and every first Saturday of the month that I go.
Okay.
The only time I put out a flyer was for a food truck and like because I really wanted people to show up for this food truck. And there was like a line down the block when the food truck came.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not to get personal, not to get personal, but talk about, if you don't mind sharing your experience with, I guess, being homeless and what, you know, the impact that it made on you to get to this point.
Homelessness came for me, and I'm not going to say homeless as if I was living in the streets, because you can stay with a friend and be homeless.
Correct.
You know, you can go from couch to couch, and that's still a form of being homeless. You don't actually have to be, because you can sleep on the street and have money in your pocket and can better yourself, but you just choose not to, because it's a mental thing.
Mm-hmm.
My homelessness came from the domestic violence relationship, because I felt like I didn't want to burden my family and friends with it. So then that's when I left North Carolina and went back to D.C. and stayed in a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And with being in that shelter, it made me lose a lot of things. Because before I left, I had a good job here. I had a vehicle here. But my safety for myself, and I had two kids at this time, and I was actually pregnant with my third child while living in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I always told myself, because the shelter did so much for me, the shelter that I was at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they gave me like a grocery card, gift card. It helped me get a job. It gave us like bus fare. You know, it was like an actual apartment. So I was like, dang. Most women shouldn't have to leave a good livelihood and sleep in bunks just because you're going through something or you're homeless.
Right.
It was actually like an apartment. Like, we had furniture. It had a washer and dryer, refrigerator. It had everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I always told myself, like, once I get myself together, I want them to be able to be comfortable, like a transitional lifestyle, like a halfway house.
Right.
So, and that's another thing, too, that I realized, because they also did, like, testing for, like, HIV, mammograms. A lot of shelters don't care about those things.
Right.
So it was, like, everything you needed all in one building. But that was in D.C. Charlotte doesn't really have the funds, or I don't know if they don't want to, because I didn't have to leave. When I called, they were like, you can stay here for, like, 10 days and use a computer. And I'm like, well, that's not going to do me any good. I need to really move somewhere where I can get away from him.
That's here in Charlotte.
Yeah, the one here in Charlotte. But this was also, like, maybe 7 years ago, so it's gotten better since then, because they have one off of West Boulevard that's pretty stable. But it made me feel like I want something where they can keep up with their health, the kids will have an indoor daycare, you know, and still be in a safe place without people knowing where you are.
Mm-hmm. Are you, maybe you have a better understanding, what do you think the statistics are in Charlotte when it comes to, I hate to use the word homelessness, kind of how you kind of brought about, like, but what do you think the statistics are as far as folks that are not in a
well, I won't say numbers because I don't really know the numbers, but I know from when I moved here in 2006 to now, and I've moved away twice to try to, you know,
just change the stuff.
But I would say it's so many homeless people out here now. Like, every corner is, like, it's ridiculous. Because it's like, is it really this many homeless people, or are y'all just playing around?
Nah, it is. I think every time when I go to, especially, I work uptown. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it doesn't matter. When I'm getting off the train, there's probably 10 or 12 people, you know, just sleeping there in the morning.
But even in neighborhoods, off highways, even if you're in University, Indian Trail, Matthews, it's homeless people literally, like, each light stop.
Right, because my misconception then was, okay, it's in heavily populated areas as far as, like, it's around everywhere. Uptown. But, like you said, I can go out to Matthews and you see
it's everywhere. And it's not even just African-Americans. It's whites, you know, Mexicans somewhat. But I see sometimes a lot more white homeless than I do African-American. Well, I think the African-Americans, they more so the black state in the homeless area. They don't really go to the stop signs and all that as much as the whites do. But they're everywhere. They're all over.
I think I can agree with that. I did a soup kitchen. I'm not from here originally. Mm-hmm. I'm from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the soup kitchen with my father when I went home. And I noticed the difference. And I think that's when I personally started paying attention. Yeah. I'm 38 now. But even at that age, of course, you would see it. But you just never would truly understand it. Because I'm not immersed in it. I do have empathy for it. And I understand. But, you know, you have your moments where it's like, I'm good.
I do pop-up shops, and sometimes when I'm at the light, I'm just like, not today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're just not in the mood.
It's overwhelming sometimes.
It could be overwhelming, and I have to understand that it's not me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not me. And most, I'm going to always believe you first before I don't believe you. Because there are some out there that
some who really need help.
That need the help, and I think the ones that are out there faking a funk is making it bad for the ones that actually need the help. And unfortunately, you can't. It's hard to pick them out. Yeah. So my thing is, if I have that heart at that moment to give, then give. Whatever that is. I know at one point, and I got to get back to it. You kind of brought it up. I got to get back to it. But what I used to do, And I used to have at least about 20 singles in my car. Mm-hmm. So once that $20 is gone, it's gone.
Right.
But I always, if somebody's asking me, I always want to make sure, especially if I'm at the light or something like that. I mean, it's not much, you know what I'm saying? But I also got to understand that there's been times where I have handed a full 20 to somebody, and then you come around the corner, I'm like, shit.
Right.
Like, not saying shit that you asked me, but like, damn, I wish I had something else to give. But some of them are bold, man. They're bold. But I think everybody's situation is just different. It's just totally different.
Right.
You mentioned you had kids. Mm-hmm. How was it with having children going through that process?
Mm. It's hard because they see you going through things, and I have 3 sons and 1 daughter. My boys are the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's even harder for me to raise sons that actually have to see you dealing with things and struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But now even when we do still times have, you know, times when we're down, they know their mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't complain about it. They don't bitch about it. They don't whine. They don't really say, when we're going to do this. Like, they just know that better days are coming. Because even if we don't have a lot, we still do more things than a lot of people do.
I will give that to you. Because you display it on social media, and I think one thing, and I guess it's the advantage with the type of employment you do, without saying it out there, but the type of employment you do, that you're able to take advantage of those opportunities with not just yourself, but to take your kids. Mm-hmm. So even, I guess, going through that and then saying, well, this is just a rainy day.
Yeah.
You know, more sunny days are coming, but the fact that you actually take them out of the country.
Yeah.
To see those things, you think that gives them a better appreciation with the struggle that their mother has been through to now?
Yeah, because I wish I had someone. And I traveled all my life. You know, my grandmother pretty much raised us. My mom was there on and off. My father was never there. I was conceived in prison. My father was incarcerated. So when my mom was going to see him, she became impregnated with me. And then he got out 28 years later. And then he passed away this year, January, of a drug overdose, which is another reason why I'm so into doing the pop-up shops, because I see people out there actually doing heroin and stuff. So you figure maybe one day if you come, because this one guy was like, he had an interview coming up, and he was in Atlanta, and if we never showed up, he wouldn't have had anything to wear to the interview. So sometimes you just feel like, even if you just show up to give them something to wear to the interview,
there is a purpose.
Able to kick a habit, you know, so...
That's great. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that. Because I mean, you never know what somebody. There's nothing. You never know what somebody is going through.
Yeah, because people look at me like everything is good, but once I talk and tell them my story, like they just don't. They wouldn't have thought it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
But you wear a good face on that, because
you gotta stay positive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So moving forward, what do you see happening with the pop-ups? I know you kind of talked about it briefly, but like, what is your true vision of the pop-up shop?
My vision is for the pop-up shop to be a Planned Parenthood / clothing dry food kitchen and a job placement. I dropped out of high school and got my GED, you know, so... I would like to have a center where you could just come to and get everything. Of course, you got to be clean or trying to get clean. You got to really be homeless and really need it. Mm-hmm. You got to really be a single mom. You don't know who the father is. You got to really be a domestic violence survivor. It's layers to it.
Right.
You know, because we don't want to put people in it when there's other people who could really use it. Because you're just lazy and you don't want to even just go to Burger King and get a job. But I would like for it to be just an all-around center where you can come and just get your life together.
Do you feel it's important to, I know you say it's important to that, but how can, and this is me personally asking, how can you truly vet that?
How can we truly know that they're really in a bad situation?
Yeah, because you know, it's
kind of following their background, their trail. Have you been to the hospital because you are a domestic violence survivor? Have you gone to court with the guy? You know what I'm saying? There's ways of them being in a system that you can kind of track it out.
Okay.
To see if they're really being honest.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what do you, like, so when you... With the Village pop-up shop and your kids, are they truly around? Are they truly into it?
Yeah, my oldest son, you know, he works and everything now, and a lot of times he does his own traveling on his own and stuff, which I'm proud of, because at 17 nowadays, he could already have a baby. He could already be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But his mindset is, I want to fly to Miami, get a pair of sneakers, and come back. You know, so I want to keep him doing the things. But sometimes we could be at the light, and he'll say, Ma, I got $2. You know, you want to give it to the person. But my little ones, they love it. They love to come. They love to support. Because I think they, my older son feels it more, but my little ones may see it more. Because I don't really like to show my older son my emotional side. Mm-hmm. But my little ones are always with me, so they right. really, you know, can feel and see what I'm going
through. But the oldest son is always going to have mama's back, too.
Yeah, so. He's always going, and then he gives me money out of each check and everything. But I try to keep him so where he can stay focused and live a better life for him, too.
That's what's up, man. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. He planning on going, do he want to, like, what does he want to do?
He goes to West Meg. He plays varsity basketball. He works. He travels. He already has a passport, which I know some grown men. There's nothing wrong with not having a passport, but I just have a different view for them because of the men I've dated.
Right.
Really didn't. Some had stuff, some didn't, but I just have a different vision for my sons. But he wants to go to Georgia State and play ball. I kind of want him to go to the military or to pilot school, but we'll see. But he just wants to go to college and play ball.
Military is not a bad route. You know, I mean, I'm a product of a military kid, and I understand the if you plan it right, it could work.
And if you see your tunnel vision, like, you can still, I have friends who are, Navy coaches. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you can still play sports. Mm-hmm. You have your benefits, get your school tuition paid for. If you have a family, they'll be covered. Those are things that I wish I would have done.
Okay.
Gone to the military.
All right. Thank you for the conversation. So let's what does Meek Millie like to do? I know we talked about the Village Papa Shop. You like to eat, so you like to go to different restaurants and things like that.
Yeah, I like to eat seafood. Mm-hmm.
What's one of your favorite seafood restaurants here?
I don't really have many here. I like to cook my own seafood here in Charlotte, but when I go home, I like to go to Annapolis and Baltimore and eat good seafood and crabs with my family. Mm-hmm. I can just go to Cameron Seafood in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and just get a dozen crabs, and that satisfies me. But here, I pretty much cook my own stuff here.
Negroes love crabs. I'll be honest with you. I know it's going to be a shame, but I like seafood. Mm-hmm. But I'm not big. I'm just not the type of guy that's going to sit down at the table, put the bib on it.
Oh, no, that's me. I need my beer, my sauce, my crabs, and I'm good.
And it's not many here in Charlotte. I actually went to Po' Boys for the first time. Okay. But they're actually pretty good. But trust me, they was in the cracking them crabs up. Yeah. But I'm like, damn, I just never got into the fascination of it. I mean, it's cool, but me just in there, now I want to get to the food right away. I ain't got no time to be cracking open stuff.
Yeah, and I could do that too, like maybe salmon or mussels or something like that.
Mussels, I don't even like mussels.
Yeah.
what does mussels taste like?
It's chewy, but it tastes good. Yeah, it's seasoned right with butter and garlic and a little wine, it's good.
Is it kind of like the same texture as oysters?
Yeah. Not as slimy, but it's still chewy.
I just had oysters for the first time, like 2017 when I went to New Orleans, and it was cool, but it ain't something I gotta go back and get it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good, though.
I don't know about that. So how have the with the organizations here? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a lot of organizations.
Yeah, like everybody doing something.
And we, as crazy as when I had a conversation previously, we was talking about collaborating. Mm-hmm. So how important is it to you to collaborate with other organizations, possibly to not go past what you're trying to do, but how we get into the business side of things now.
Yeah.
So, because I think this is an important part of the conversation. So, how do you feel about either collaborating or just trying to remain independent in what you're doing?
It's important because networking is always important, and it's always important to stay relevant when you're doing anything. Sometimes it's kind of hard to do things with people because then they'll leave and do your whole thing. And that's why I kind of like to travel and do things out of state, because sometimes when you just keep doing things with the same people in Charlotte, sometimes they can pick up your trait and just make it theirs. But then sometimes, even with that, what God has for you is for you, so I don't really think about it too much. Mm-hmm. But I like to do things with people. I won't say people dislike or like to do things with me, because I have had a sorority just recently at John C. Smith said they were looking all over Charlotte for someone to do something with, and they chose me out of everyone here that they saw to do something with. So we're trying to collect 100 sleeping bags and 100 tents by November to hand out between Charlotte and Atlanta. But I definitely think it is important, because you never know who someone else knows or who else you may touch on somebody else's team. Mm-hmm. You know, I may have something and I may not run across the same thing that I may partner with somebody else and do something with. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely important. And it's no need to be greedy. It's no need to be selfish, you know. at the end of the day, it takes a village. So why not collaborate with other villages, you know? But you just got to be careful with it, though.
Correct.
Because everyone doesn't have the same heart. Some people are not doing it because they've been through it. Some people are just doing it because their job is telling them to do it.
Correct.
Or they want to do it for social media, or they're doing it for a check.
Right. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you put it out there, but I don't think that you're not just... It's not about you flashing pictures. Mm-hmm. I think what you've done is people do make it a viral moment. Try to make things a viral moment. But I think with you, I know number one, you're not doing that.
I posted because I want it to be big.
Correct.
And I want other people to reach out to me and say, when you come to my city,
and it's all about how it's all about how you're posting it. I don't see you posting it as a boast. I see you doing it as, this is what's going on.
Right.
If there's somebody that you know, let them know what's going on.
Because I've been through it. I lived in a shelter. I'm a single mom of four kids. Even my middle two sons, they're 8 and 11. Their father's in prison for 34 years. Mm-hmm. After my dad did 28. You know, and my mom was a drug addict. My grandmother raised us. Like, I'm living what these people are living. So mm-hmm. it's not like I'm just a golden, you know, silver spoon child and I'm doing it. Like, I actually do it because I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and who knows if we could be there again.
True. So, this is my last pondering question.
Okay.
What I commend you for telling your story. Thank you for sharing your platform with
yeah,
me.
No problem.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So how do you plan on breaking? You're doing it already, mm-hmm. but just to keep that always in the focal front, how is it important for you to break that cycle so your kids would not have to, you know, see that or go through that to that extent. If you ever think about it.
By keeping them busy, by keeping them traveling, by keeping them prayed up, by keeping them focused on important things. Like, we laugh, we listen to music and rah, 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 but at the end of the day, you know, we got to say, do positive things too, mm-hmm. you know. As far as my son, the one that's 17, when he wants to go to a concert, you can go to any concert you want to. But I'm right there. We go to see Lil Baby and whoever else he want to go see Future. Mm-hmm. But I'm right there with my kids when we do things like that.
Correct.
Just so that way they won't get too comfortable with doing things in the streets, you know. And then as far as just the community, every pop-up shop, in the beginning the plan was every pop-up shop we do interview someone to see why they're here. That way not only my children, but because kids are on YouTube and social media every day, all day. That's all they look at.
They don't look at regular TV no more.
You don't even make up your bed, but you're looking at a YouTube channel, other kids making up their bed and playing with their toys. You know what I'm saying?
They look at everything, which is crazy.
They get excited to see other kids doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, if we can even do our own thing, and each pop-up shop we do, you can just learn how someone else got here.
Mm-hmm.
And that they miss their children, or that they've been on the street since they were 16 years old. Because you have young boys out there too.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of homosexual. You know what I mean? Their sexuality.
They're going through.
And they're doing whatever they got to do mm-hmm. to survive. You know. And I never want to be a parent that's going to push my child out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by each pop up shop we do, and if we can have episodes like documentaries off each pop up shop, that mm-hmm. would not only do good for my household, but for other families to sit and watch episodes with their family. Like a True Life, but it'll be The Village. You know, True Life back in the day on MTV.
I used to love that show.
Me too.
It was real. It was real. Like, that's when True Life, like, they was, like, these people were, I'm like, yo, these people are actually walking around with them with a camera.
Real life stories, but they took that away.
And you can tell that's not, and you know it's not fake. Like, I said, that's not fake. You can't fake that.
Yes, and that's why I originally had the Meek Melly show, because it was, you know, about real stories. Like, we interviewed a guy who's living with HIV for 11 years. Mm-hmm. He was a backup dancer for Madonna. He's now a model for Louis Vuitton. But he has his story.
Mm-hmm.
Another lady named Brandy in Atlanta, who's really close with Stevie J, she went to jail. She went to jail and was away from her son since he was like 1 year old. And she finally just got out. So we've been able to also touch other people and get to know their mm-hmm. stories too for the Meek Melly show.
You still doing the Meek Melly show?
I am. I did stop it due to personal things, job transition ends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is coming back in the fall as a podcast.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know you were doing that for a second because you was going to California a few times.
We did a few things and it was a really good show. And when I stopped it, people were like, oh, my God. There was even a lady in Cleveland who reached out to me whose son was killed just hanging out in the elementary school parking lot and was killed in Cleveland. A girl who was out with her best friends and they jumped her and one put their high heel through her forehead and she almost died. So I was like, I need to get back to it because people are actually reaching out to me to be on the show.
Yeah, please get back to that, because I definitely was tuning in then. I was like, okay, I want to see who next she's going to talk to.
Yeah, we got to be consistent. That's the key to anything in life.
Especially in this type of game. Yeah. You have to be consistent, so I do hope that you do get back to it. But thank you.
Thank you
for coming on. Premise of my show, and you kind of touched on it, but I just want to put it back at you again. Every person I interview, the main purpose of why I even started doing this in particular is to ask what's next for Meek Millie?
What's next? Well, I'm taking a break because I just had a back-to-school event in August, and we gave over like 200 book bags, shoes, uniforms, clothes, hygiene bags, like the little man bags with like soap, everything in them. But I'm taking a break in September just for my own personal needs and to just breathe. But for October, we're definitely going to try to do California. In November, I wanted to do Thanksgiving in New Orleans and just get the podcast back rolling. And just, I'm still debating if I'm going to turn it into a nonprofit or if I'm just going to keep doing things with just support. I'm really not sure. But I may need to turn it into a nonprofit because eventually I do want to run for mayor later on in life, you know.
Oh, you got aspirations.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, that's why I kind of do
want to. So politics is something down the line.
I'm going to start going to city council meetings every Tuesday. They do them across the street from the courthouse.
Yeah.
So the main goal for me is to be Mayor Melly. But in the meantime, I am doing neighborhoods and communities, not just in Charlotte, but all over the world. So we'll see.
That is what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a mayor out here. What?
Hey. So let people know, you know, let people know where they could find you at. Like, if you have anything you want to let people know.
My website is not up at this time, but I do have TheVillage_pop-up shop on Instagram, as well as Meek Melly, M-E-K, Melly, M-E-L-L-Y, also on Instagram at this time.
That's what's up. Thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
And to everybody, I hope you all enjoyed this conversation. I think she has a lot of insight to give, a lot of experiences, and the fact that she's being this transparent. I do appreciate you coming onto my platform to do that. Exactly. I am E-Dub. Can't find me on my platform. Instagram, whogotnext_CLT. And my email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And like I tell everybody, if you have somebody out there that got something going on, let me know. I'll make sure to reach out to them. Right. But for the most part, if you're doing something, I'll see it. I'll find you.
Be a blessing on purpose. That's my motto. Be a blessing on purpose.
Hey, I try to be. But you were a blessing to me today because I did enjoy the conversation. So I do appreciate it. But all right, until next time, peace.